Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson. Lori spends her days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. She talks to students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. She's here to share their stories along with other insights with you. So let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Lori and I am flying solo today, but I'm super excited to continue our conversation about the education savings accounts, which we're also calling the voucher programs. And we're gonna focus on what I feel like is one of the most important topics that families need to understand. What happens to special education rights under IDEA when a student leaves public school to participate in one of the voucher programs or the ESA program? So I feel like this is one of the most misunderstood parts of school choice. So families often assume that if their child has a disability, the same rights, protections are automatically going to follow them into a private school setting. But the truth is way more complicated. So in this episode, we are going to break down what IDEA guarantees in public school, what changes in private school, what happens to IEPs, what child find really means, and what families should carefully consider before making decisions about school choice. So as always, this is only for informational purposes. I am not a lawyer, although sometimes I pretend like I'm one, because I am kind of a true crime junkie. However, rules vary somewhat across state to state. So this is more generalized, hopefully, information. And hopefully, if you are a family considering school choice or a voucher in your state, or you know a family that might be in the process of applying or considering, this would be a great episode to share, especially if they have a student with a disability of any kind. So let's jump in. First of all, let's start at the top. What is IDEA and why does it even matter? So IDEA stands for the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. This is the federal law that governs special education in public schools. We touched on this a little bit in our last episode, but just to review, IDEA guarantees that any student with disabilities has the right to a free, appropriate public education, also called FAPE. We're back into the acronyms. That phrase is pretty key because free means families do not pay for the services. Appropriate means the school must meet the child's unique needs. Public education means the responsibility applies fully when the child is enrolled in the public school system. IDEA is the reason children can receive special education instruction, speech therapy, occupational therapy, counseling services, behavioral supports, academic accommodations under an IEP. And the legal mechanism that organizes these services is called the IEP. What is an IEP? It's an individualized education program. This is a legal contract in public schools. Now remember, it's an individualized education program. We're going to call it an IEP, but it's not just a plan. It's a legally enforceable document. In public schools, the district must provide the services listed in the IEP. Parents have procedural safeguards. They have rights to meetings, evaluations, progress monitoring, and dispute resolution if the services are not provided. So an IEP is more than just support. It is an enforceable guarantee under federal law. So what happens when a family leaves that public school setting? This is really critical. Vouchers and education savings account programs generally require a child to exit full-time public school enrollment, which makes sense, right? But once your child is parentally placed in a private school, the legal framework changes. IDEA protection looks very different outside of the public school system. So parents are asking, does my child still have an IEP if we use a voucher? Well, the answer is usually no. However, the public school district is no longer required to provide FAPE, the free and appropriate public education, to a child who is voluntarily placed in private school by their parents. This means that the district does not have to maintain an IEP in the same way. They don't have to provide a full range of special ed services. Private schools, yeah, they're not required to implement an IEP. Instead, students fall into a different category under IDEA. So let's talk about the difference between an IEP, an Individualized Education Plan, and what's called Services Plan. This is a very important distinction. Public school students receive an IEP. Private school students may receive something called a services plan. A services plan is not the same thing as an IEP. It's typically very limited in its scope. It might include one service, like speech therapy, if the district offers it. It does not guarantee all of the supports a child would receive in public school. Why? Well, IDEA requires districts to spend only a proportionate share of federal special education funds on private school students as a whole, as a group. Not every eligible private school child receives a full individualized service, which is often kind of surprising to families. So basically, private schools, they just don't have the same legal obligations. They're not bound by IDEA or the law, the federal law, in the same way that public schools are. They are not required to provide special education programs, provide certified special education staff. They're not required to provide related services like speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, music therapy, counseling services. They're not required to implement any kind of IEP. Now, some private schools provide excellent supports. Others provide very limited accommodations. So before you enroll your child into a public or private school, you got to ask some questions. You got to find out what kinds of supports do they have available to kids with disabilities. So private schools may operate under disability discrimination laws like Section 504 or ADA, but those are not the same as IDEA. IDEA provides the strongest educational entitlement, and it applies most fully in the public school setting. So we talked a little bit last time about Child Find. Does the district still have responsibilities under the Child Find law? So families will often hear the district is still responsible under Child Find, and that's true, but it's important to understand what that means. And again, we touched a little bit on this last time, but I think it's really important, so we're going to talk about it again. So Child Find is the obligation of a school district to identify, locate, and evaluate students that have a suspected disability who live in their geographical boundaries. So let's go over that again. They have to identify, locate, and evaluate. So that could be kids that are in private schools, homeschools, kids that are taking advantage of the voucher program or the ESA program. So yeah, they still have to evaluate, especially if a parent requests. Like, they're not going door to door trying to find all the kids that could potentially have a learning disability. But if a parent in the district, regardless of where their child is being educated, suspects that their child might have a learning disability or a disability of some kind, they can go to their local school district, their home district, and request an evaluation. However, this Child Find law, it does not equal ongoing services. They can evaluate, they can identify, but that's it. A free and appropriate public education is about guaranteed special education services. So you can still get an evaluation. Your child can still be found eligible for services, but the district's not required to provide a full individualized education plan unless the child re-enrolls in public school. So if you decide to keep your child in the private school or keep homeschooling, you can get the school to identify them. But the school's not obligated to provide any services after that unless the child were to enroll back into the public school or into the public school for the first time. So why is this important for families? This creates a really important and very real trade-off. So your voucher funds, your ESA funds, they're going to allow you to purchase things like private tutoring, speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, specialized instruction, the private school tuition. But you're giving up all the enforceable rights that are provided under an individualized education plan. You're giving up guaranteed related services. So instead of you having to go out and hunt down somebody that A, is approved, is an approved vendor, that's important to know, because if they're not an approved vendor, you cannot use your voucher funds for that service. So you've got to find somebody that's already been approved through the your state and hope that they have availability for your child. And so that's up to you. Whereas when you go to a public school, all that staff is right there and it is part of their school day. It's not something that has to be done after school or outside of school hours. It's done throughout the school day. The other thing you're giving up is procedural safeguards, which is the ability to hold districts accountable for the services they deliver. So if you are a public school student or you have a public school student and the district's not doing what they said they would do, or what's written in the IEP, then you have a legal obligation, or they're legally obligated, so you can hold them accountable legally. So for students that have mild learning disabilities, mild needs, they don't need a ton of special education services, this flexibility might be worth it. But for students that have more significant disabilities, more significant needs, the loss of these guaranteed protections could be a serious concern. So what are some questions that families should ask before leaving their public school? So the first thing you want to think about is, what services does my child currently receive through their IEP? So take a look at the services page. There is a page dedicated to services. There's usually one for this school year and next school year, and it tells you what services they're receiving, how many minutes per week, per quarter, per semester. They do it differently a little everywhere, but how often are they getting these services? Take a look at that and see what all they're receiving and how often they're receiving it. And then think about, okay, if I've got to pay for those services on my own, obviously I can use my, in Texas at least, I can use my voucher money, my ESA money, but how much is it going to cost and how much is it going to cut into the money that I had really hoped to use to go towards tuition? Another really, really important question is your private school going to provide accommodations or specialized instruction? I will tell you that in my experience, private schools run the gamut. We have private schools that provide a host of services for kids with learning disabilities that are not learning disability specific private schools. So I've got schools that will provide dyslexia therapy, that have learning labs, that provide remediation and reteaching, and a whole host of accommodations. But I'll tell you that we also have some private schools that do the bare minimum, if at all. And usually the bare minimum is like extra time on tests because parents have fought for that, but not for everybody. And the way the process you have to go through to get those accommodations can sometimes include a full evaluation that you will then have to pay for privately. What happens if your child needs speech or OT? Who provides that? Again, that's you finding someone privately to do that. And remember, that private provider must be approved through your state's voucher program. And then what happens if you disagree with the private school about the supports that they are providing? Because remember, if you disagree with the way things are happening in a public school, you've got the law on your side. In the private school, not so much. If you don't agree, there's not a whole lot that you can do besides pulling your child out of the school. Something else to think about: families need to understand that there are some children that thrive in a private setting, but others need the structure and legal guarantees that the public school provides. So it's a lot to think about. It's not a decision I would make hastily. I would really do your homework and do your research and determine if this is going to be the best move for your child, if your child is receiving supports under the special education umbrella in your public school. So let's kind of wrap things up a little bit. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Again, I also talk 90-100 miles a minute, so if you need to slow down the speed on your podcast, whenever, wherever you listen to it, that might help too. So vouchers and ESA programs, they're expanding rapidly. Like, more and more states are taking this on. And yes, they may provide new opportunities, especially for families seeking a little bit more flexibility. But families of students with disabilities must understand one central truth. IDEA, the Individuals with Disability Education Act, those protections are strongest in a public school setting. Leaving public school changes the legal guarantees around special education services. So before making decisions, you really should seek guidance from professionals who understand both the needs of your child and special education law. The goal is always going to be the same. We want to ensure that every student receives the support they need to learn and to succeed. We've just got to figure out the best place for that to happen, and where you know and can be guaranteed that they're going to get the support and services that they need to be successful and to thrive and enjoy and love school. So hopefully this is just good information. A lot of you guys may already know this, and if you don't, hopefully this has been really helpful. If you have questions about any of this, please feel free to reach out to me through our email address, letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. If you have questions specific to your state, or if you are in a state that's considering this program and you've got questions, I'm happy to answer those as well. If you've got questions about future topics or suggestions, or questions about that are more specific just to your situation with your child, I'm happy to answer those as well. So please feel free to email me. I love getting emails. Thank you guys so much for listening. And actually, one quick thing. This last week, we attended the 2026 Learning Disability Association Conference. So I am going to have a couple episodes coming up with some really cool people that I met there. So I'm excited to share that. And hopefully we'll have some new co-hosts joining me as well. So thank you again for being here today. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll see you back here next time on Let's Talk Learning Disabilities.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.